Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. She grabbed us with Buffy and Angel, and then, of course, Dexter and two incredible seasons of Defiance. Actress Julie Benz is along to talk about where she's been and where she's going as Defiance comes back in a few weeks. Plus, civil unrest, police mistrust, they're both at the top of the news stories. But this weekend, a new show tackles it from a different angle. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio, get The Point Radio.
The sci-fi series Defiance has been a real roller coaster ride for actress Julie Benz, starting out as a respected city official and ending up as, well, a desperate drug addict, and there's a lot more ahead when the new season premieres in a few weeks. I talked to Julie about how she researched some of the darker sides of the role.
I watched a lot of YouTube videos of people doing opium. I try to get a very clear vision of exactly what Adreno does, and it does a couple different things depending on how you take it. So I just watched a lot of YouTube videos of drug addicts, and it was really hard, actually. And then in the scene where Amanda beats the guy up, where she's like in full on rage and she like beats the guy up in the need one, I was watching clips of like other actresses who've done, you know, alcoholic fueled rage scenes, and I came across one with Sharon Stone from Casino, where she pulls up in the car and just starts like screaming at De Niro, and it's like awesome. She just lets it all hang out, and she's just like, and it just, for some reason, what she did just really inspired me to kind of just let Amanda just go in that scene. And I had warned Grant ahead of time, because he had to pull me off the guy, and I warned him. I was like, you're going to have to, I'm going to really fight you, like, be prepared. And he was like, and we went to do the first take, and I almost knocked him on his ass. And I was like, really, and I warned him, I said, you know, because it was the only way I knew how to do it. And I was like full on, like in rage mode, and just like screaming at everybody in between takes, and like, because you get into that energy, you just can't drop it. It was fun. I didn't have to go to therapy for a month.
She pointed out some interesting similarities here between this and the character she played on Dexter a couple of years back.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, it's interesting because Rita's probably the most far removed character from me that I've ever played. I mean, she was a definite character role. And when we'd be in production, I was so much more insecure, neurotic, and emotional in my own life when I'd be on, like, playing Rita. Like, I found myself, like, crying over, like, random things, just much more emotional than I normally am. She was a definite character role for me, and Amanda's more kind of who I am. I mean, I'm not a drug addict, by far, not, but her kind of drive and her being able to compartmentalize and her being, like, you know, very career-driven, I completely relate to because it's been my life, and I've had a career since the age of 3. I was an ice skater and then an actor, so it's like I've always made sacrifices for, you know, career, and so I can relate to that aspect of Amanda.
So as an actress, how does Julie go about choosing roles?
You really look for how the female characters are written, and you know, to see who's involved in it. And then I have to, most of the time I have to audition. Like, I have to fight for roles. I mean, not everything's just handed to you. I mean, I had to do a chemistry read on this one with Grant, but it was pretty much my role, and I knew that. You know, for Dexter, I mean, I had to fight tooth and nail even just to get in to audition for that. And so I think the roles pick me more than I pick them.
So from series to series, does she find her fans follow her work?
You know, it's a lot of the same fans. I mean, I like to joke around and say the Buffy Angel fans grew up and became the Dexter fans, and then they all kind of followed me over to Defiance, which is awesome. I love that, and it's why I like working in genre shows, is that the fans are just as passionate about the show as we are making it, and they're loyal, and they're faithful, and they're devoted, and I love that, you know, so it's great. It's been
as
fantastic.
We said, Defiance is about ready to kick off season 3, so what makes the show work?
It's an amazing cast. We're all very close. We're all very supportive. We all work very hard to bring our A game every day, and that's hard to do. And when one person is struggling, the other person is there to help pick you up and get your A game back out there and on the field. So we're a real team, and it's great. And I think you can see that, like, with our panels and stuff. There's no one person that stands aside. We're a group. We are Defiance, and we're in it together.
As far as what's coming up, the big question for Defiance fans is, where do things stand with Amanda and Nolan?
Well, they're like the Ross and Rachel of Defiance. They're on a break. No, you know, I think they'll always have an attraction between the two of them. I just think it's going to be a very complicated journey for them to really commit to being together. And, you know, it would be boring if they hooked up and next thing you know they're, like, playing house and, like, having a baby. And be like, nobody would watch the show. It's so much more interesting to kind of put them together, pull them apart, put them together, pull them apart, and, like, wonder, you know, is this the episode they're getting back together? Or is, like... It's better to kind of do that. So that's what's going to happen.
Defiance returns on June 12th. We'll have more coming up in a few weeks. However, stay on top of everything right now at sci-fi.com. Comic book movies again at the top of the list when we check what's going on with pop culture. Who will be the next Spider-Man? Well, the answer to that just might be Asia Butterfield, at least according to reports in the Latino Review and other sources. Allegedly, Sony has offered the role to the actor, who you may know from Hugo and Ender's Game. No official word from Sony to confirm that yet, though. With all the networks making their announcements for the next season and, of course, all the superhero properties out there being tossed around, not much of a mention of the TNT Teen Titans project that was talked about as early as last September. According to sources at TNT, the project is not dead. Akiva Goldsmith, who was attached to the project, has been tied up with other deals and apparently has put this on the back burner for the moment. However, a spokesman for TNT did say that plans were to get back to casting during the summer and to make some major announcements pretty much between now and September. While The Simpsons just keep plodding on season after season, the cast may not. Harry Shearer, the voice behind Mr. Burns, Ned Flanders, Smithers, and so many other characters, is exiting the show, reportedly due to a contract dispute. Word is that those major characters will not be killed off, but the voice acting will be recast in time for the next season. CSI, the original version, is coming to an end after what's been a long run on CBS. 15 seasons will end with a 2-hour movie that'll air in September on the network. It'll feature the current cast as well as past members of the team as well. Ted Danson, who has been a part of the cast for the past year or two, will be moving over to CSI Cyber beginning early in the new TV season. Josh Boone, who directed The Fault in Our Stars, now gets to tackle the New Mutants. That franchise is part of still the plan with Fox to keep the X-Men alive and on the big screen over the next few decades. Although it may be a while before things get moving before the camera, Boone is a little backed up a little bit director-wise, handling the Vampire Chronicles based on the Anne Rice novels, and doing a version of The Stand as well, both of which will have to be filmed before he can tackle the X-Men project.
The Point! The Point!
Police misconduct, public mistrust, those are just stories that are at the top of the news cycle over the past few weeks. And tackling them head-on is CBS legal news analyst Ricky Kleeman. This weekend on Investigation Discovery, she offers In the Line of Fire, a special that takes a different approach to all this, and I ask her what we can expect.
What you can expect to see on In the Line of Fire on Investigation Discovery is a story of each of three Police Officer Medal of Valor winners. What these people did, one from L.A., one from New York, one from Maplewood, Minnesota, is that on an ordinary day for them, as they go about their jobs to protect and serve, that they were called upon to act with extreme courage and truly be heroic to protect the lives of others, and that they went forth with extraordinary bravery, at great risk to themselves, in order to save a person because they thought it was the right thing to do simply because they're police officers.
So where did the concept for this begin?
I was inspired to do this show many, many years ago when I was living in Los Angeles, and I witnessed on the evening news that there was this story because of the helicopter video that you could actually look down upon it. And there was a sergeant named Hector Feliciano, and he winds up at the Mexican consulate where a suspect is dragging out a pregnant woman with his arm around her neck, and that she is in danger of being killed, and that everything as people run from the consulate, and that she is left being taken out by herself, and she is screaming, she is terrified, and how Sergeant Feliciano was able to take control of the situation. He is eventually able to take a shot to be able to save this woman's life. So when I saw that on the evening news, I said, this is extraordinary. And I wanted to do a story about Hector Feliciano. Years passed. I went to Hector Feliciano's Medal of Valor ceremony because I was so impressed with what he did and watched him be reunited with this woman that he saved. So when we decided at Investigation Discovery that we would go forward with this special, which I hope turns into many more, that there are award winners' data in police departments, sheriff's departments throughout the country. And what the production team and I did was we looked through dozens upon dozens, if not hundreds, of stories to be able to find three that were very different. They're all Valor winners, so they have passed that criterion. But ultimately, we wanted three different people with three stories that share two things in common. One is their bravery and heroism, and the other is that their acts are each different from one another. So you have a woman in the Midwest who's a police officer in Maplewood, Minnesota. She looks like a soccer mom. She goes to a domestic violence call, one of the most dangerous calls on earth. You have a young man in New York City who's on a date. He's off duty when he witnesses the armed robbery of a taxi driver. So these are three stories. Each of one is riveting because we see them, we hear them, and when we do the reenactments, you actually can feel what happened to these officers in these split-second decisions where they really had to think about life or death.
In the past, civil unrest usually had a cause, politics, segregation, or more. I asked Ricky, in her opinion, what's at the heart of today's problems?
I think at the heart of major problems facing many cities right now is far broader than police. Police have become the visible target because we can look at them and say, well, there is the cause of the problem. Hardly. What is the cause of the problem? We have to look at poverty. We have to look at lack of education. We have to look at loss of job opportunity. We have to look at a hopelessness of many of the inner city populations where people feel that they cannot get a break. And until those societal ills are solved, police will still become the flashpoint, even though they are most often not the cause. It is not to say that there have not been a half a dozen very well publicized, really terrible acts, and acts which we have seen from the media and, of course, from social media, which have caused the protests around the country, civil protests where people say enough is enough, are probably a very good thing. Violence and rioting and looting is a very bad thing. And what I want to show here is that I will not participate where the only dialogue going on about police is the critique. There has to be a balance here where we also see of these 800,000 plus police officers that there are people who believe to protect and serve, who never use a gun, who never use a weapon, who only want to help people. And there are acts of these three of great bravery.
Ricky Kleeman and In the Line of Fire, premiering Sunday night at 9 Eastern, only on Investigation Discovery. That's it for now. We're back in a few days with plenty of pop culture to share, and we do it, of course, on websites like comicmix.com, michaeldavisworld.com, and getthepointradio.com, and as always in the iTunes podcast directory. On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we're easy to find under The Point Radio. And you'll find us right back here, like I said, in a few days.